Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. How are you?
See, you good. I thought she's going to shy away, but that's cool. I'm doing good. Aunt, say hello to Marva. I know y'all know each other. Go on.
Oh, yeah, we know each other. We know each other quite well and stuff, all the way back from Black Planet, just like you, Taz, you know. What's up, Marva? How you doing, sis?
Good. How are you, babe? You all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. Likewise.
She got a nice radio voice, for real.
Oh, yeah. Yes, she does.
Here we go. The story is a black soap opera. And I know y'all might not be familiar with soap operas, but they range into about 5 to 6 stories all at once. Setting is always the same. And some people know each other and some people don't. So I'm going to get you into a couple of little spots. I'm going to already have these read out. This is already pre-recorded, and they last about 5 minutes to one even last 6 minutes. But this is the first spot. This is Urban People in Action. I called it Black People in Action, but I didn't want to get too them with the title. You know, I didn't want nobody not to buy it. But I ain't buying them by no black people, so it's Urban People in Action. Still the same thing. And here we go with the first one. This is first act, you could call it. Here we go.
Sharon Glaze was sitting at her kitchen table early that Friday morning. She was staring out the window into the New York local city streets. Good morning, Mama. Wanda, Sharon's daughter, greeted her. Good morning, dear. Sharon tried to smile. It's Daddy, isn't it? Wanda asked. Or is it your headaches? It's my head, Wanda, and not your father. Sharon tried to lie, even though it was both. George Benjamin Glaze was known to work more doubles in anyone's history of work. She knew he was doing something up to no good because he wasn't doing any of it with her. Oh, Mama, Wanda hugged her. Well, 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 black people, Junior came into the kitchen. Don't start with any noise, Junior. Mama's head is hurting. Wanda scolded him. Good morning, my beautiful mother. Junior kissed her on the cheek. Where's Dad? At work. Again, Sharon sighed. Please tell her, Mom, that I have a basketball game. And we're playing at the Blue Light Club tomorrow night. You and the One Love crew? I'll be there, Wanda told him with joy. Y'all both won't be anywhere if your homework isn't finished. I know, Junior, you're a senior. And, Wanda, you're a junior, both in high school. But if y'all live here, you're going to have to follow the rules. Well, Mama, I'm out of here. I'm going to school, Junior said quickly and whispered in Wanda's ear, you have to ride the bus, so catch the flak for me. Junior left out the back door. Damn, Junior, Wanda said to herself. As you were yelling, Mama? Wanda tried to smile. James Byrne was getting ready for work at the famous Trick Corporation, his own company that he built into a multinational corporation. His company was the number one corporation in sales of video and audio technology. Good morning, Dad, Roscoe said to him. Good morning, son. What's up with you? Well, I plan on doing some more publicity with our group, One Love. A couple of radio sets and then the record store at the mall. That's real good. James slapped his back. Yo, Dad. Clint, James' youngest son, called out. Don't forget, we got a game tomorrow night before the Blue Light Club. I know, Clint. You need a ride to school? No, Dad, I'm waiting on the bus. I bet you are waiting on a... Roscoe looked in Clint's direction. Wanda. Yeah, that's her name. Wanda Glaze. You right, Clint's mom. It's all good. Roscoe slapped him a high five. Goodbye, fellas, James said on his way out the door. Bye, Dad, they both said together. Yep, right on time. Lance Atwell was looking at his watch from across the street in a limo. Yes, James Byrne, my rich, black, successful friend, you are being watched. Atwell laughed to himself as the driver pulled off following James' car. At the New York local high school, hey, Wanda, Charmaine Robinson greeted her. Her father, Wayne, was one of the richest lawyers in town. Charmaine played the high society role quite well. What's up, girl? Wanda walked up to her in the hall. So tomorrow is on, right? The game. Then the club and your good-looking brother singing with One Love, Charmaine smiled. You're right, but at the club we're going to need some blow, Wanda said. Charmaine started snapping her fingers. You're right. I got it. I'll talk to Albert Bell. He'll hook us up for tomorrow. Here, Wanda dug in her purse here's $40 for my shit. Cool. It's all gravy. I'll pick up the stash tomorrow, and we'll be all set. Peace out, Charmaine. Later, Wanda. And they both walked opposite directions to their classes.
We're live now. This is the live voice. Wanda and Charmaine are young teenagers in high school looking to get high at this basketball game that's going down the next day, and also going to the club because her brother's in that group One Love. Also, James Berm, the top lawyer in town, his son is actually in the group, the leader of the musical group that's playing in town. And also, his other son is in the same grade as Wanda, and they both kicking it. So you see how this is kind of like they interlocked, and they together, and, you know, they know each other. So everybody is prepping for this, like, concert and this basketball game because it's like a, you know, the biggest talk in town because they in the sectional finals or something like that.
Right.
Your take on it.
Who do you want to go first?
I called you out, Ann.
Well, I can tell you right now, it's very different from the soap operas that I'm used to and stuff. But, you know.
Be a reason.
Huh?
I say it's black. That might be a reason.
Yeah, exactly. And they doing stuff, you know, they're being all polite and stuff in front of their parents' face and then trying to sneak behind their back doing stuff.
It's getting ready to get good.
I just started laughing when I started laughing and stuff how very polite and very respectful they were towards their parents and stuff. And then the whole time they setting up their planning on getting high and going to this One Love concert.
Marvel,
very creative.
Well, you know what? In our time, we really didn't think about that too much. You know, there's some sneaky people that did that too back in our time. But at the same time, hey, this is a new age, and these kids is like, you know, like hot butter on breakfast toast. So they do their thing, you know. They don't care. Sometimes they don't even care if the parents find out. So they find out, they just find out. But, you know, they just do what they want. They feel like they grown, you know, they grown and then grown. To me, I say if you grown enough to you know, do the things that you're doing outside of, you know, out of my presence, then you grown up to get on your own and do what you want to do when you want to do it.
You sound like my mama.
Yeah, I'm a mother, so, you know, I'm a mother.
On the real, Sharon, who is Wanda's mother and Junior's mother, she's having problems with her husband because he's talking about he's at work, but he ain't there at the house. So that's another added-on feature. And also,
yeah,
James is being followed by this cat that seems like he wants revenge on him. So here's the second spot. This is the second act of Urban People in Action.
Okay.
Sharon Glaze was on her way to work that afternoon at 1 o'clock when George Glaze, her husband, walked in. George, she said as she met him at the door. Hello, Sharon, baby. Where you off to? Work. At the grocery store, remember? Sharon said with her hands on her hips. Oh, yeah. That's good. Have a nice day. George kissed her on the cheek casually and then tried to walk to the door real quick. Oh, no. You just don't walk in without a baby. My car didn't work. I had to work overtime or something, Sharon demanded. That was it, baby. I worked a double at the steel mill, George said real quickly. Why does that sound so untrue? Sharon looked at him hard. Baby, believe me, I worked a double. Then why didn't you call, George? You at least could have called. Sharon just shook her head in disgust. I couldn't. I didn't have time. George tried to explain. Please believe me, my sweetheart. George got closer to Sharon, but she backed up. Listen here, George, she said. I don't know what you're doing, but this shit will have to stop. I will find out what the hell is going on, and if it's what I think, then you will have to go. I will not be made a fool of. As Sharon talked, George tried to walk closer. Just stop, George. Get the hell away from me. Sharon ran out of the house to her car. Damn. George slammed his fist into the wall. Charmaine Robinson knocked on 272 Oakdale Drive, the address of Albert Bell. Well, 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 Charmaine Robinson, come in, good looking. Jimmy Perkins answered the door. What's up, Jimmy? Is Albert around? She asked as she started looking around the living room. Hey, girl. Albert hugged her as he came from the back. I need some blow. Charmaine reached into her pants to get her and Wanda's money. How much? Albert asked, spinning her around and kissing her on her neck. She moved her long hair out the way to expose the back of her neck. Enough for tonight and tomorrow, she said. Okay, cool, but let's get into what we started. Charmaine tried to give him the money, but he put it back into her pants pocket. Charmaine then unbuttoned her blouse. I didn't think you liked this the last time. Charmaine smiled at Jimmy and then at Albert. Oh, yeah, baby doll, I liked every bit of it. Albert smiled as Charmaine threw her bra in his face. Come on, let's hurry this up, she said. I don't want my family to start getting worried about me being late from school. Albert picked her up and carried her off to his bedroom in the back. This could be more profitable than she thought. Charmaine smiled to herself. Later on that evening at the Glaze home, Wanda Glaze and Clint Byrne were sitting on the porch. So how was your day, Wanda? It was cool. I aced the test in American Lit, and I chilled the rest of the day. Wanda smiled. That's good. So after school, what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to college? Do you have plans to go? Wanda just shook her head. Well, I thought about it, but the main thing is money. My parents just don't have the money to send me. What about getting a grant? Clint asked. I haven't looked into that. I'll look for you, Clint assured her. You're so sweet. Thank you, baby. Wanda kissed him on the cheek. Well, are you ready for the game tomorrow? Yeah, Mr. Rubble ran us through practice with a lot of emotion tonight, Clint explained. Just one more win and we'll be in the regionals, Wanda told him. You're so right, Wanda. And I hope Phil Robinson can play. You mean Charmaine's brother? She asked. Right. He hurt his ankle tonight in practice. That boy is our whole team. I'm sure he'll be all right. Wanda got close to Clint. They kissed on the lips this time, just as George Glaze, Sharon's father, walked up the steps. He cleared his throat. Oh, Mr. Glaze, Clint said, startled. Clint, Wanda. George walked between them to the front door. Ugh, Wanda said in disgust. What's wrong? Clint rubbed his shoulder closest to him. My dad stays out late, way past his work hours, and he upsets my mom every time it happens. I know he is doing something. What are you suggesting, Wanda? Clint asked. I'm suggesting my father's playing around, having an affair with another woman. You can't be sure. I'll be sure, and I'm going to find out, Wanda said determined. And you're going to help me. Clint shook his head no, but Wanda shook her head yes, and she kissed him again.
End of number two. As you see, the girls are wilder than we thought.
Right.
It goes back to
belt around that door.
Taking off balls and things.
Standing behind the door with that belt waiting.
So as you see it progresses a little bit more, you do kind of find out why Sharon is upset at her husband. All this working and really ain't being
home. He's
doing
too much.
Ain't adding up.
No, it ain't adding up because he doing something he ain't got no business.
And then also Charmaine getting the drugs for free,
right.
Booty and no
that?
Money, equal
what
drugs.
Going to get that?
See, that's the part that I was wondering about right there. What's going on?
You said that?
You don't be getting nothing for free.
Ain't nothing for free. You got to pay for something.
She's putting out the
stuff. Eventually, you do. Yes, sir. Y'all help me write this one.
He said, yes, sir.
Eventually, I guess Aunt it's kind of got you intrigued now. You want to know what happened with the girls, and you want to know what happened with the father and the mother. But we fixing to get into another part of the story that, you know, like I said, soap operas usually have like 5 to 6, 7, 8 different stories going on at one time. And
yeah,
I gotta keep y'all interested in one, but then bring you out into another one, so so it reads like a soap opera, basically. I know how to write stories the regular way, but I wanted to write it in parts so they connect, and you'll be like, oh okay, I remember that spot too, you know. So this is number 3.
Okay.
Urban People in Action.
The next morning at the Robinsons' house, Charmaine was on the phone with Wanda Glaze. Yeah, girl, I got the blow from Albert and your $40 to match. Charmaine laughed out loud. I can't believe you gave him some for the bag of dope, Wanda said in amazement. Yeah, it's all good in the hood, you know. He wanted some ass instead, so I hooked the brother up. It's no bust, Charmaine boasted. Okay, ho. Wanda laughed along with Charmaine. Hey, girl, I'll hook you up between class. Peace, sis. Charmaine hung the phone up as Curtis, her big brother, walked into the room. Curtis, what's going on? She asked. Nothing much. I'm just off to work. He grabbed an apple out of the fruit basket on the kitchen table. Being a detective can't be that hard. Charmaine smiled at him. It's cool. If you want to know, I implore you to come and try it with me. Curtis grabbed her arm. Who do you think I am? Charmaine said as she snatched her arm away. Christy, love? If you had some hooker boots on, then maybe. Curtis smiled and started laughing. Get out of here, Curtis. Charmaine started to throw a cup full of water on him. But he left out the door quickly. Hooker boots, she repeated it to herself again out loud. Good morning, sis. Phil walked into the kitchen. Are you ready, my twin brother, for the game? I won't know until later on today to test my ankle, Phil said, trying to put weight on it gingerly. Maybe I'll drop a line to Jill Jackson to give you a little something. To cure that ankle of yours. Charmaine pushed it on. Go on now, Charmaine. Phil hopped to the table. If you drop that line, I'll probably miss the game. Phil and Charmaine laughed together. Lance Atwell sat in his easy chair as he read the paper. Trix Corporation stocks are on the rise, even at $125 a piece for 2 shares. A stock. Lance thought aloud. James Burns would have to pay for what he did to me. Why did James' life have to be so rich? He was one of the richest men in the world. Why did James Burns' future become so bright compared to his own? If it wasn't for Burn, it would have been so. Atwell drifted off in deep thought. Damn, Burn, keep your ass down, Atwell commanded, as he and James ran into a bunker in Vietnam. We've got to make another move. These grenades are flying all over the place, James said nervously. We will, but we got to rest. We won't make it. No, Atwell, let's go now. James jumped out of the bunker, and as he did, a grenade filled in on Atwell's legs. Damn you, Burn! Atwell woke up from his drift off, slapping his legs real hard, but he had no feeling in them, for he was crippled because of the grenade that went off on them 29 years earlier. I will get even with you, Atwell muttered to himself. In the hallways of New York local high school, so we meet up after the game, and Phil would take us along with Jill Jackson to the blue light, Charmaine Robinson told Wanda Glaze. Jill Jackson, huh? Don't tell me your brother is talking to her. Wanda shook her head. Well, they are friends. I really don't care. She's cool with me, Charmaine told her. I'm just asking, Jill. Jill and me, we goes a ways back. Wanda smiled. Well, 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 lay days. Billy D. Harris walked by them in the halls. If I had some time, we could do some things, Billy D. said, all cool as get out. Boy, you better go on by, Charmaine laughed with Wanda. Even if I ever cheated, it would have to be with him, Wanda told Charmaine, still looking down the hallway at Billy D. Yeah, his name fits him, Charmaine agreed. Anyway, let me get to this class, girl, and I'll see you tonight after the game. Wanda grabbed her books off her shelf in her locker. Later on, girlfriend, Charmaine walked down the hallway. Jill Jackson, Wanda thought. I hope she likes Phil for real, and like she did Clint. My Clint.
As you see, the girls are still planning their little, you know, their mess behind scenes. You find out that Wanda hates Jill Jackson, who goes with Charmaine's brother. That's her twin brother that had hurt his ankle during practice and plays for the basketball team. Also, you find out why Atwell hates James Burn, that's Clint's father, why he hates him because of what happened in Vietnam. And
that right there, you know, it's typical how you can blame somebody else for something that was like a random act or, you know, something that was, you know, that really wasn't meant to be. You know what I mean? I mean, how are you going to sit there and blame somebody else for what happened to him? You know what I'm saying? That was a random occurrence right there. You can't blame nobody for that. You know, like, he's getting, he's a grown man, man. Like, come on,
hey,
man.
Hey, look. Dude can't walk. He can't do the atomic dog. He bitter.
You better scratch his butt and get glad.
Be bitter at the people that's a problem that you have it with. You can't be bitter at the guy because he didn't have nothing to do with that. He didn't drop a grenade on his legs.
But he felt like he left him in there, and that's what happened. You know how it goes.
But that's my whole point. Yeah, but that's my whole point. You're going. That's even like in real life. Well, I mean, you know, you always blame somebody else for something that's like random or something. You know what I mean? I guess you got to focus your energy or your hate at somebody. But come on, man, this ain't had nothing to do with the grenade. I mean, he didn't dump a grenade on him. His whole.
Well, he mad at that. He mad at the dude who got a successful corporation, and his corporation ain't shit. There's a whole lot of factors going on. Why is this punk keep being lucky? I got to make him unlucky one day. You know, that's how the jealousy goes. Marva, what's your take on some of these stories?
My take on that is pretty much the same what he said, because they both fought the same war, so why are you mad because that happened to you? I mean, everything happens for a reason. It's what you do, you know, to make it better for yourself, you know, in the outcome. Being that he's in a wheelchair and leg is messed up don't mean that life is over, you know what I'm saying? He's still living, so he should look at it in a positive matter versus something negative, you know, do something positive to make something happen versus, you know, want to, you know, take rage and go off on somebody. It just don't make no sense.
What about the girls?
The young girls? They just need their butt whipped. So, you know, they doing too much.
The girls.
they getting out of line. So
I can already see that they're going to get into some trouble. And it's not going to be by
somebody might be wind up pregnant or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because it ain't going to be by the parents are going to do something. But they out there on the streets doing all this mess. Giving up their goody goods.
They doing too much.
Just for a blow. That's going to come back to haunt them.
No, they live in an instant world. That's what it is. They live in an instant world, and anything goes, you know. So what they trying to do is, you know, so I can get seen here, get, you know, in the limelight here, I'm going to do this here, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, so they can make themselves, you know, known that they, you know, make their popularity. But actually, the popularity that they're getting is not going to be a good one. You know,
putting their stuff out there like that, they're gonna be labeled as hoes.
You know, hoes and you know, weed heads and stuff, whatever they doing, you know. So it's not gonna be a good vibe that they doing. You know, they thinking they, because they sneaking around doing it, and you know what I'm saying, they trying to make themselves, you know, make a scene for themselves, but they gonna make a real, you know, big blast on their life, you know, in the end. So that's crazy.
And here we go with the fourth part. Urban people.
This is your DJ, Step Down, on WQIS 100.3 on your FM dial. And we have our very own group from New York local. It's the group One Love, y'all. Yo, what's up? What's up, New York local? This is Roscoe Byrne, Judy Payne, George Glaives Jr., Jetty Dice Jones, Solomon Mason. So explain to our audience how y'all got together. Well, Step Down, we all basically met in the church, and we were singing then. Judy started off. And we got the vibing pretty tough back then. And Junior said, hey, we should form a later group. Roscoe helped her. Yes, and the rest is history. One Love, Junior added on as the whole group sung One Love together. So, who y'all down with? What record label y'all with? Step Down asked the group. We're down with Funky Four Productions out of L.A., Jetty answered. We just finished our album last week, and the tour kicks off tonight, Solomon Mason announced. That's it. The tour kicks off tonight at the Blue Light Club. Step Down put on the record. This is their first single, Things Ain't Tight, by One Love. At the New York local high school gym. Well, the crowd is out tonight, isn't it? Sharon Glaze said to Wanda, her daughter, as they were trying to find seats. I guess a whole lot of scouts are out here to see Phil Robinson play, Wanda told her. Yo, Wanda, there's a seat over here. Jill Jackson called out to them. Hello, Jill, Wanda said, walking towards the seats with Sharon following. Mother, this is Jill Jackson, Phil's friend. Hello, Jill, Sharon sat down. I thought we would never find a seat. The teams are coming out. Jill responded excitedly. I hope Phil is feeling all right. You mean his ankle? Wanda asked. Yeah, he said it was beginning to loosen up earlier today. Jill looked on the court spotting Phil and smiling. So Jill. Wanda kept it low for only Jill to hear over the cheering. Do you really like Phil? Why would you ask that, Wanda? Because of Clint. And besides that, I want to know. Me and Charmaine are like sisters, and I care about Phil as I do Junior, my own brother. So do you really like him? If you think it's about money, well, it's not. I happen to care about Phil a lot. This is real to me. I know back when I was seeing Clint, it was about what he could do for me, and I really played him, but this is different. I've grown from that, Jill confessed. I just wanted to know, Jill, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't trust you, but I would not down you for what happened in the past. But I will have my eyes on you, because I care about Phil also, Wanda told her seriously. New York Local, 71, Pittsville High, 73. The scoreboard read with 50 seconds remaining. Coach Rebel was talking to his New York Local players in his last time out. Let's work the ball around and get a good shot. Let's run the wing play. I prefer Robinson to shoot it, but if someone has a good look, then take it. Try to burn off 40 seconds before the shot. Go on three. 1, 2, 3, go. The whole team shouted as the horn went off to resume play. Clint passed the ball into Junior, who was dribbling at the top of the key. Junior looked for someone to get open, and it was Clint. Clint caught it, and he started to dribble around the right side of the court. He looked at the clock, and it read 17 seconds. Clint quickly passed it inside the key to Phil. Phil quickly passed it to John Bowers, the strong forward, who passed it back to Junior, who was still on the top side of the court. There was 10 seconds left. Junior jumped in the air as if to shoot, but he passed it back to Phil, who took one dribble and turned to dunk. But the Pittsville center jumped at the same time, hitting Phil on the right arm, causing Phil to bounce the ball off the front of the rim and fall on the ground on his back. The clock sounded, ended the game. There was no foul. The New York Local fans booed furiously. Damn, Phil yelled as Clint pulled him up off the court. You got fouled, G, Clint exclaimed as he looked at the scoreboard. Damn, he got fouled. You guys did well. Good play. The ref just didn't call it. Let's go back to the locker room, fellas. Coach Rebel patted them all on the back.
Yeah. normally, when you write these stories, the team that's usually the people's team that's within the story usually wins. But not in this case. Not in this case. They lost. Your thoughts, Ant?
Yep. I thought at the beginning. I thought when you were first telling the story of, you know, and how he's coming off and the game was getting winding down, I thought he was going to make the winning shot too. So it was a welcome surprise to me that, you know, to find out that he missed a shot. It makes it more realistic, you know, because not everybody, not King James even did it, not Michael Jordan won every shot, you know, won every game but the last shot. So it made it look more real, you know what I'm saying? So good job.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Don't worry, there's a whole lot of twists that don't normally turn the right way in this story. My wife can attest to that after she read it. She said, I'm up here thinking going one way, and you just took us down another dark alley. I don't know what to think. I can't read it because it don't go the way it's supposed to go. And I don't want it to go that way. I want it to be different and really, like you said, Ant, realistic. Because, I mean...
Right.
Yeah, you know, I've written, when I was younger, I've written a lot of sports stories because that's what I used to read when I was like 10. I started writing when I was 12, and I wrote a sports story of this one guy that was good in every sport. And, I mean, the story is pretty good. I mean, it was just, you know, for somebody 12 writing it up until they were 17, the story was pretty good. Because I didn't start this story until I was 15. Then I revived it about 6 years ago and just wrote 1,000 pages on it. Because I wrote over 900 pages for 16. So, I mean, it's the same characters, just a little bit juicier, more cussing involved, more realistic. Marva.
Yeah, they doing more of the grown thing now, you know what I'm saying? So it's like you said, it's urban. It's more modern, it's more realistic, and, like, you know, it's not no Huxtable kind of, you know, setting and stuff like that. You know, everything is going to go gravy. You know, things do act up and things do happen in a family matter or in a situation, different situations that we deal with in life. You know, you're
right.
Pretty much covering all the bases on that. So that's you know, that's awesome.
What did you think about when it was at the beginning here? I got the pages with me. When Wanda was telling Jill, giving her a warning shot, don't mess over Phil now. That's like my brother. And Wanda is very hot-headed. And
Wanda like him herself. That's what it is. She like him herself.
When you come to see this all the way, Wanda is, like, I mean, ready to jump bad with every and anybody. So that's how it goes.
I mean,
down.
She going for bad, but at the same time, she, you know what I'm saying, when it really comes down to anything, she can talk all the talk, but she ain't walking the walk. So, you know,
right.
she can say this, that she's doing this and that or whatever, but she's not going to, you know, actually back it up and everything. But at the same time, I think she liked the guy, and that's why she's telling the girl, hey, if you mess up, you know, it's me and you. You know, it's going to be on, you know, because she want to show the dude that, hey, you know, I got your back. She's messing up on you, so I got your back, you know. You can
well,
you know,
real,
trust me.
On the real, she does like Phil as a brother because she in love with Clint. But
okay.
She mad at Jill because what Jill did to Clint when she was liking him. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, got you.
Because Clint's father is the head of Trix Corporation, and, you know, they rolling in money. For real.
Right,
for real.
Definitely.
But, you know, she trying to get up with him because, you know, I don't have to be paying for nothing because, this little nigga do the ice cream shop, buy all the ice cream. You know what I'm saying?
She said, I give you some ice cream. You give me what I need. I give you my ice cream.
I see the number 706, but I'm not going to hit you up. I know who it is. Just listen in. This is about the story that I wrote. This is number five, right? This is the fifth one of Urban People in Action.
Okay.
At the Blue Light Club, the cars were beginning to pull into the parking lot. They are packing it in here slowly but surely. John Doakes, the owner of the Blue Light, said to Linton Cole, his bartender, yeah, tonight's a big night. Tonight is one love. They're going to make it big. John Doakes smiled at the ladies walking in. Yeah, and they'll be from our hometown. We'll finally have someone famous put us on the map, Linton remarked. Well, I'll talk to you later, Lynn. I see someone. John walked in the direction of three men dressed in Armani suit wear. Hello, gentlemen, John said nervously. Anything you want is on the house.
Well, it better be, Dokes. I do own this jacked-up club,
Donald S. Darkin said very calmly. Yes, sir, you do own the club.
So I hear One Love is performing tonight.
Darkin shook his head.
Good, good. I will need to see the total sales for tonight so I can get my percentage. If that is all right with you, Mr. Doakes.
Darkin sat down at the table. Yes, anything you say, Mr. Darkins.
Now get us a case of Cristal chilling.
Darkins ordered, which caused John Doakes to run to the back. Lint's on. Take it off for the walk-in cooler.
Damn,
Linton muttered under his breath. Donald S. Darkins was the head of all crime in New York local.
He owned businesses by the sound of a bullet going into the owner's chest. He had prostitutes, and the drug gang was all his in town. The word crime was partly his also. Nothing that was illegal in this town didn't go on unless he knew of it. Donald S. Darkins was the main, and the bad thing about it was that the whole town knew it. Even the popo knew it. Phil Robinson walked into the blue light, opening the door for Jill Jackson, Wanda Glaze, and Clint Byrne. I just can't believe how many people are actually here to see my brother's group, Wanda exclaimed as she looked around the big club. Our brother's group, Clint reminded her. Let's get that table where your sister is sitting all by herself. Jill pointed in the direction of Charmaine, who was looking around admiring all the men that walked past her. You ho! Wanda yelled out. Oh, girl, Charmaine Robinson yelled along with her. I've been sitting here saving these seats for you guys. While looking at all the men, sis, Phil interrupted her. Charmaine pushed his arm. I'm sorry about the game, guys. Charmaine looked at her brother Phil and then at Clint. Yeah, the referee just didn't call the foul. But like in the NBA, UB Brown would say, you don't go through the whole week, Phil responded. I don't think you win a week, Clint said sadly. I just wish we could have won. Don't think about it. It's over with now, Wanda encouraged him. Let's party. She's right. Forget about it, baby, Jill told Phil, and Phil kissed her gently on the lips. I'll be going to the ladies' room, Charmaine smiled at Wanda. Hold on, girl. I'll be back. Wanda kissed Clint and walked with Charmaine through the crowd. Sharon Glaze was at a table in the middle of the blue light, sitting with her niece, Valerie Richards. Oh, there goes Wanda and Charmaine going to the ladies' room, Valerie said to Sharon, who turned and waved at her daughter. They grew up so fast, Valerie. That includes you. I remember when you all used to play outside of my backyard, Sharon laughed. Yeah, now I'm married to a good-looking man, and hopefully one day I'll be looking at my kids playing in our backyard, Valerie smiled back. Sharon looked at her watch. George, you are still not here. I can't wait to hear his excuse this time, she thought. Hello, ladies, Wayne Robinson said to them, along with Wallace Mitchell, the police chief of New York Local. Hello, Wayne, Wallace, Sharon said to them both. This is a nice night and a nice crowd for a party, Wallace announced. Yeah, there's a lot of black folk in here trying to get down, Valerie said as she was starting to jam to the music in the background. I'm just proud of the boys, huh, Sharon? They've been playing music for a long time. Wayne took a sip out of his glass. That's right, Wayne. Junior Roscoe finally got signed with, she tried to remember. Funky Four Productions, Wayne helped her out. So, where's George? Wallace asked. He's supposed to be at work and then on the way here. Sharon sounded disgusted. I'm sorry. I struck a chord. Wallace did a slide backwards. I'm sorry, Wallace. I'm just so upset with him, that's all. Sharon looked into Wallace's eyes. You know, Wallace got closer to her face. If I was him, I wouldn't keep your pretty face waiting 1 second. A few seconds passed with Wallace and Sharon just looking into each other's eyes. Wayne cleared his throat. Well, ladies, we should be getting back. We just wanted to say hello. That's right. Wallace stood up straight, realizing what was going on between him and Sharon. Ladies, have a nice night. They left the table. Well, Miss Thang, what was up with that?
Valerie asks. Nothing. Wallace is always joking and playing around, Sharon said, thinking to herself. Or maybe he wasn't.
We get a little deeper. We at the club. The most important thing about that segment that y'all need to remember was the introduction to the story of Donald S. Darkins. That is the main thing y'all need to remember for this whole little fifth preview of it. Donald S. Darkins, the main dude that run the whole town, the gangster
yep.
of the whole city. Brother M, what did you think?
Yep. That dude, hold on, sorry. Yeah, that dude is, since nothing goes down without his knowledge. What's his name, Donald?
Right.
Yeah. You can just see where these girls is heading to. You know, it's sort of coming together, because if they're starting to get into this little party lifestyle and starting to get into the drugs and all that activity, since Brother Man already, since nothing goes down in the city without Brother Man's knowledge, you can see where it's going. You can see where it's heading and stuff. I feel sorry
and,
for the girls, because they're in some trouble. I feel sorry for the girls.
Marva.
Is he pimping him?
He don't even know him yet. In the story, they have not ran into each other. He don't know them yet. And on the real,
ridiculous.
I can tell you this. Ain't gonna get
yeah,
that
that's,
far.
That's why I said you can see where it's headed, because if these girls are living this lifestyle, and this dude knows everything that's going on in the city or whatever. Eventually, they're gonna have to run into this dude. They're gonna get in some trouble with this guy. That's how I see it, anyway.
Yeah, I'm glad you don't know the whole story, brother. I told you.
He gonna tell on them girls.
The people that read this story, they go around circles where they go, "Wow, I didn't know it was going like that." So, you know, you could completely be right or completely be wrong. So I'm not gonna. Y'all kind of
like
close, but
just,
I ain't gonna say.
Well, just like your wife said, you know, you wrote it one way, and we think in one way it should be happening this way, but it's gonna get a whole total. That's what soap operas do, though. They give you they make you look like it's gonna be this certain way, and then you know suspense be building up and everything. Next thing you know, it then turned another way. So that's
right.
How it happens, you know.
And that's what I want y'all to think for real. Now I want y'all to be, you know, in tune with the characters as well, because
definitely.
I know y'all love the girl spot, but on the real, since we introduced the gangster, y'all gonna love his spot. Y'all be like, I can't wait till we get back to Donald S. Darkins, otherwise known as D.D. I can't wait till we get to D.D. spot, because crazy. Even the kids that when I worked at a prison, I let them read it. And they were like, I don't want to do no recreation. Oxygen, as long as we got the story, we'll sit in the cell and read. I said, okay, y'all can read it then. And they was like, man, I can't wait till the gangster spot come every time.
Wow.
See, we on page 18. They were on page 500 and something reading.
Wow.
And they was like, they didn't want to play no basketball. All they wanted to do, you got the story? Yeah, I got the story. Then I want to read. I ain't trying to go nowhere else but sit in this cell and read this thing. So they were very much into it. This is Act 6 of Urban People in Action. This is going to be the last one that I have pre-recorded read. This is Act 6 right here.
Okay.
Wanda Glaze was fixing her hair in the bathroom of the Blue Light after smoking a joint with Charmaine Robinson. Dang, that shit was potent, Charmaine said as she was retouching her lipstick. I agree, girlfriend. Did you see my mother and Valerie at the table? Yeah, I waved at them. Where is your father? Charmaine looked at Wanda seriously. That's a good question. I think he's playing around on Mama, and I'm going to find out. That's a shame, Wanda, Charmaine exclaimed as she opened the door to leave, and Wanda followed. Hey, Wanda, let's go talk to the bartender, Linton Cole. He's my boy, Cool. Wanda agreed, feeling the effects of the joint. Girl, what's up? Linton said from behind the bar. What's going on, Linton? This is my best girl, Wanda Glaze. Charmaine introduced him. How are you, Wanda? Linton smiled. I'm doing great. Wanda half smiled back. So, Charmaine, when are you going to start doing business with me? Well, Linton, I already got a contact, Charmaine smiled. You mean Albert Bell and Jimmy Perkins? Linton asked. Yeah, they look me up all the time. Charmaine smiled at Wanda as if to say, that joint they just smoked was the bomb, so it's obvious that Albert and Jimmy hooked them up. They are nothing but trouble, Charmaine. They beat this girl up for not giving them the money she owed, and she died a week later, Linton informed them. Damn, Wanda remarked. They got away with it? You know this. Ah, shit. Linton looked up to see one of Darkin's henchmen walking towards the table. What's wrong? Charmaine asked. Let me get back to work. Darkin's men think they run this club. Look here, Charmaine. Think about what I said. Linton went to greet the men. John Doakes walked to the mic on center stage.
Good evening, and welcome to the blue light.
And John said that the blue lights begin to flash all over the club.
We all know the reason you came here tonight, and that is to see our own Funky Four production label artists kicking off their first tour, I Give You One Love.
Everyone got up on their feet for a round of applause. Wanda looked over for Valerie and Sharon's table to spot George, but they were the only ones there. Damn, my father, Wanda thought. Now why couldn't he be here for his only son's opening night? Elsewhere. Come on now, George. Give it to me, baby. Penny Washington moaned, singing Rick James while laying on her back with George Glaze between her legs. Oh yeah, baby, George groaned as loudly. This is for my wife. Oh yes. She only gives it to me once a month. Oh baby. The moaning grew intensely between the both of them as George rested himself on the side of her in a ball of sweat. Now, that was good. Penny kissed his cheek. You can believe that, Penny. George agreed, breathing heavily. Did you mean what you said? Penny asked. Mean what, dear? George asked. That your wife only gives it to you once a month. Yeah, George answered. Don't sound shocked. Some people are like that. If I love someone, I couldn't possibly want them only once a month. I bet she's the first one to complain about every little thing, Penny asked. Yes, she complains about anything. Maybe I deserve it, George said. You don't deserve that, Penny looked at him. She should be on her J-O-B. I know if you're not, then some women will be in line willing to do the job. She probably wouldn't care, George told her. That's a front. A sorry woman would try to play on you. Believe me, if she knew, she would really be hurt. Penny kissed him again. Well, we don't want her hurt. George kissed Penny back. At least not yet.
Uh-huh. So, we found out what George has been doing.
Mm-hmm. You freak.
What he's been doing it, and who he doing it with.
That a good old crazy George.
Brother Ant, your comments.
Well, all I can say is what did Tyler Perry say? What's done in the dark will come out in the light. Yeah, brother man, no doubt. So, He's going to reap what he sows. It's going to come back on him and stuff. But I do got one thing to say, Pat.
Yes, sir.
The group One Love, right? What is the name of their production company?
Funky Fall Production.
I sat here this whole hour thinking, where in the heck did Taz get this from? I had to go way back in the archives and think of In Living Color, Funky Single Production.
You got it, bro.
Marvel,
what do you think? I mean, that was the last one I'm playing tonight.
I can't even say anything. I just think he fouled. You know what I'm saying? That's just not cool.
And Wanda is mad about it,
you know,
too.
What?
She looks like, damn,
really
where am
I? Because I would have put a can of, he would have some, you know, broken kneecaps or something, you know. You
also,
know, doing it to that lady, you know.
And also, as you find out, Jimmy Perkins and Albert Bell, the one who sold the drugs to Charmaine, killed
mm-hmm,
the
right.
girl and got away with it. And old boy at the bar told him, you need to be dealing with me instead of dealing
right.
with them. So you found right. out they could be headed for trouble.
Yeah, exactly. You live the life, what? You live that type of life, and you know, somehow, some way, sooner or later, they're going to get caught up in that lifestyle. So they're already in it. Hey, it's bound to get worse from here. And, so,
well,
we can see what's going to happen.
I'm glad y'all joined me on this first one.
This is awesome.
I was very excited to do this, and I recorded them for like my personal assistant out in California when she was working with me about getting people on this show, and also my co-host who lives down in Florida, and I did it for them and my sister who grew up with this story growing up with me. And I just read like 172 emails of 5 and 6 minutes, and we only on number 7 next time we do this. Just to let you know, we only on number 7 next time we do this. And I guess I'll schedule it again for next month. We'll do this once a month and just hit it once
cool.
a month. That way y'all can stay abreast with the story, and then you'll be like, by the time we get into, like, the 20s, y'all going to be like, I'm into this now. I need to find out what's going on. Took me on some corners. I don't know what's going on this way, how it's going to happen that way. I'm glad y'all got introduced to the gangster because he is
I'm already there, so I'm waiting for the next one.
Well, that's good, and thank you both for being in.
No
I'm
going to
play a song by Vanessa Bell Armstrong.
What
I
song
love
is that?
Her. This is called Seasons, off
oh,
the
okay,
last
that's,
album that
okay.
she did.
I was going to say, don't play my...
I love that song.
You said not that song?
No, I said I love that song.
Okay.
Yeah, I played it one time before in here. And this is Vanessa Bell. Until next week, Aunt, we got another show next week. Hopefully we got the author, Tiffany Warren, who was supposed to be in one time, and Business Boys, who I'm friends with on Facebook. They're supposed to come in and talk about their music, too. And we're supposed to talk about her novel that I read. Yeah, yeah. Taz do a lot of junk, don't he? I think
cool.
about this now, I do a lot of stuff.
Don't say junk. Don't say junk. You just blessed to do things. You know what I'm saying? That's what's up.
That's why. It just becomes like, oh, Lord.
But it's good to keep busy, you know what I'm saying, and plug into different sources because, you know, you never know what when you find out you can do one thing and you're excited about it and doing it or whatever, then you want to do other things and stuff, and then you start realizing all the treasures that you really have inside you that you can accomplish and make happen.
And the thing, Aunt Marva said she was nervous about talking. What?
I have to put on, you know, like, hey, Woosa.
You know what I mean?
Like,
I think somebody lizard, not lied. Lizard. Pig Latin for lie.
That is not a word. That is not a word, sir.
Pig Latin for lie. She lizard.
Uh-huh. A lizard. Wow. That's a new word. I'm going to have to say, ooh, that's you lizard.
Yes. Again, thank you, Marvin.
Marvin,
thank you, Ant-Man.
No problem.
Marvin knew what
thank
she was
you.
Doing, Mr. Funky Finger Productions. She knew what she was doing.
And also, thank you, Snow 6, for calling in. Know who you are, my homie. We'll talk. And also, thanks to everybody for listening to the show. This is Vanessa Bell Armstrong with Seasons. And we'll do this again next month. Peace.
Okay, sounds good. Peace.